This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
From Gimlet Media, this is The Nod. I am Brittany Luce.
And I'm Eric Eddings. So, a few weeks back, we wanted to celebrate the launch of this very show with a live taping of The Nod.
Yes, and it was the definition of lit, of popping, of hopping, of jumping, skipping, everything. It was like the most fun that could possibly be had on a Wednesday night.
All honestly, the verbs.
Basically, exactly. But you don't have to be salty if you missed it. You don't have to be like that. Because today we are going to share a portion of that live show with you. This game that we played with our panelists from that night. Amina Tuso from Call Your Girlfriend and On She Goes podcasts. And the writer from The New Yorker, Vincent Cunningham.
Yes. And the two of them were perfect guests for the very first edition of a new segment that we're going to debut right here, right now. Enjoy. We like to call this Good for the Blacks.
Yes.
I love that music.
It puts you in a mood.
It's so good.
I want it to play when I come to the club, like actually, like when I step out.
I'm not going to roast you for not going to the club, though.
All right, so I think we've all been in the position at some point where we're faced with like an awkward thing that is like somehow related to Black people. Like there's a time that we found out that the guy who carries the nuclear football for Donald Trump was a Black man. It was a little strange, caught me off guard.
I am still shocked.
Right? Mm-hmm. Like, or the fact that like the Madea Halloween movie made almost $100 million. I don't know how to feel about that. And like we're often forced to quickly decide like, is this phenomenon actually a good thing for Black folks? You're pressed at the water cooler, like, how do you feel about Snoop Dogg and Martha Stewart's talk show?
Great.
And you're like, I don't know. Frankly, these are really time-consuming decisions to make.
So that is where we come in?
Yes.
With Good for the Blacks, Eric and I, and tonight our esteemed guests,
yes, sure,
we break these phenomena down, and we take an official vote to let you know definitively whether or not this thing is good or bad for Black people. We're doing all the work for you. We are saving you hours of
so
Twitter searches and think piece scrolling and like sleepless nights.
Yeah, you're welcome. So today we are going to be talking about this season of The Bachelorette, which features Rachel Lindsay, and she is the first Black Bachelorette.
Right. So as she is the first Black Bachelorette, like this season has been full of cringeworthy moments and also like very awkward racial conversations. But I will say there has been some genuine romance. And what we're going to do tonight is we're going to have a nice little roundtable discussion. And we're going to basically decide, like, was this worth it? So Vincent and Amina, if you look on this table back here, everyone has a church fan.
Because we're
about to take just a quick vote.
Yes, up down.
Because we keep it official around here. So basically, for the initial vote, this is how we get, if you think it's good, you're going to have a brown thumbs up emoji with Obama's face.
Yes, that's true.
I know you guys can't wait to see who's on the back with the thumbs down. And on the other side of thumbs down, this is Ben Carson.
Yes. Yes. We try to make it easy for you.
Yeah.
So I think we'll just go down the line. Brittany, do you want to up down real quick The Bachelorette?
Yeah. Right now, as of right now, and this could be controversial. I don't know. I still think it's good.
I'm a hard bad for the Blacks. I personally am. Straight up.
The entire phenomenon.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. That's insane. It's amazing for Black people, especially for Black women. So yes.
Sorry, man. I'm going to also go good. It's good for the Black.
That's fine. Somebody's got to go out on that limb.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with it being me in this particular moment.
Okay, Ben Carson.
That really hurt. Like, that's what Brittany says to me the other day. Let's dig into the pros and cons. My only real pro is that, like, this is the, like, most amount of Black people, and especially, like, Black men I've ever seen in, like, 1 hour of network television. Like, yep. is fascinating. But that actually is all I got. So, Mina, do you have a pro?
I mostly have pros. It's one, she's a Black woman. So, like, yes, that's always good. Two, like, what other TV show do you have on, like, mainstream, like, white TV where a Black woman just gets to do everything she wants? She's, like, out here traveling. Yes. She's, like, buying these dummies watches. She is out here sledding in a weave. Yes. Just
a good weave.
Just, like, living nice. Your best life. Mm-hmm. But also, you know, she's, like, she said that she grew up in, like, majority, like, white spaces. And I'm sure that, like, when she was younger, she was not the hot one in, like, middle school or high school. And so, like, what a great scam to come back on TV and, like, kiss all of the boys who rejected you when you were younger. You know, she's smart. She's beautiful. She's, like, better than most of the other bachelorettes we've had. And even though the producers, like, set her up for all of these, like, really dumb conversations about, you know, it's like they let a racist on the show because, and they thought that, like, we wouldn't know. It's like, you guys do better vetting than the entire Trump administration. There's no way a racist gets on here and, like, they don't know. But at the same time, you know, like, she's been able to have these really, these conversations with, like, Black men that I've never seen on TV. I've never seen, like, two Black people on TV, like, say, hi, I've actually, like, have never dated a Black woman, and the Black woman, like, doesn't flip a table and instead says, I didn't know that about you. That's, you know, like, that's fine. And then have a real conversation about that. Mm-hmm. So I think the Black Bachelorette is, like, net positive.
Vincent, I want to know, what are your pros?
Every aspect of the show is, like, sort of, like, funny and kitschy and absurd. Mm-hmm. Like, there was a part that I just truly enjoyed where this guy's, like, ex-girlfriend shows up at a basketball game. And it's just like, okay, everyone, you've seen, you're aware of what and I just thought that it's kind of stupid and it's, like, a little bit banal. And, like, that's the true meaning of equality. When we can be just as absurd and stupid and occasionally, like, crazy as anybody else. In some way, she's, Rachel is more liberated and some way more powerful than, like, Obama, because he, like, means something, right? Yeah. And it has to do with politics. And the same people that watch The Bachelorette are like, they, like, I'm sure there's someone who, like, hates Obama, has, like, burned him in effigy and is a Rachel fan, right?
Like, and loves her. Like.
And there's this weird way in which this kind of thing is able by, you know, by the way that it's kind of weirdly, like, antiseptic and it doesn't pretend to mean too much, that it can do more work than the, like, explicitly political.
My pro is, like, in this context, unlike pretty much anywhere else in, like, pretty much all media, like, two things that this Black woman gets to do. Number one, she's the prize. She's the Disney princess. These dudes are sitting around playing ridiculous mind games with each other, trying to, like, impress her and, like, get her attention. And the other thing that she gets to do is she is, like, making out with everybody. Like, I had never really watched The Bachelorette before.
No, she's a serious horn dog. Like,
yeah, no.
Serious.
I don't even want to talk about it. There's this guy on there named Peter. Peter, thank you. Peter is fine. Exactly. Peter is fine. Peter is fine. Peter is so fine. And also, I've done, like, so much deep Instagram stalking of Peter. All Peter's friends are Black from back in Wisconsin. It's so deep. It's so deep. It's so deep. But, like, there, like, in the episode from this past week, there's this date that she has in, like, Switzerland. And because, well, that's what you do on the third date. And yeah. She's, like, in the snow in, like, the Swiss Alps, like, snuggled up with Peter's fine ass. And she is making out. Like, she and Peter spent 3 hours in a hot tub on a date a couple weeks ago. I was like, whoa, like, this is amazing. They have this thing called, is it the Fantasy Suite? Yeah. That's what it's called. And in the Fantasy Suite, it goes down.
Things happen.
Right, and I love that this Black woman is gonna have sex with all these dudes, you know what I mean? And all of them are like, man, they're like, hope she likes me after the Fantasy Suite. And, like, no one's like, oh, this Black woman is a bed wench. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, she doesn't, like, she gets to totally, like, this is a real Black woman right here, and she's gonna have sex with four of you, and all you guys are gonna be shaking in your boots hoping that she thought it was good, and that's amazing.
Yeah.
But the thing that I want to know, though, from you, though, Eric, is, like, I'm very curious. why for you is the representation just not enough?
I think this gets us into the cons.
The one con. Well,
I could go deep. But like for me, the representation, I actually agree with almost all of your, like all your pros. Like Rachel is awesome. Like she's really fun to watch. She's really relatable. Like she looks like the people I know. And it's really exciting to see other people watch her just be herself and like this volume of people. But like how they like treat the people on this show, specifically the black people on this show, like really actually rubs me the wrong way in a way that like other dating shows, like even like For the Love of Ray J, you know, like doesn't actually like bother me.
This man
me
has
that
a
much.
PhD in Love of Ray J. Like, yeah. Don't laugh. He knows.
Classic. Peak TV, actually. But seriously though, like the people on the show, like they put all the black people in this like really awkward position to the point where you can see how cognizant they are that they are being watched and how uncomfortable they are that they're being watched. There was one bachelor, Kenny, and he was getting into it with Lee, who's like the racist bachelor. Like, I mean, we just got to be honest about it. And like he was calling him aggressive, and you know they were trying to tell the guy about it, and it was just this like weird back and forth. Actually, we have a clip.
Tell me that's not aggressive. Tell me that was not.
I'm not gonna say the words, man.
But why? You know, if you're gonna be honest.
When you call him aggressive, there is a long-standing history in this country of regarding black men in America as aggressive to justify a lot of other things.
So he's the guy that gets mad and plays the race card and tries to get away with everything he does.
I don't
his own
think
he can't control himself.
Listen, I don't think he meant to play the race card. I think he truly was offended by it.
Really?
By that choice of word.
Being a black, I'm gonna get emotional. The pressures that I feel about being a black woman and what that is and how, I'm gonna talk about it. I get pressured from so many different ways being in this position. And I did not wanna get into all of this tonight. And I already know what people are gonna say about me and judge me for the decisions that I'm making. I'm gonna be the one who has to deal with that and nobody else. And that's a lot.
So like that is good TV. I'm sure people like really enjoyed that as a moment. Got probably shared around a lot. But I don't know how healthy that is. You know, like to put these black folks in this position where they constantly have to do this work of like educating, you know, the racist white folks around them. Like that's a lot for me personally to see them go through that and like having to deal with that. And like, sure, maybe it benefits like, you know, like a few white people in middle America who've never come across a black
or
person
in New
before.
York.
Or in New York, let's be real. But, like, it just, I don't know, it just seems like a lie. To me, like, I'm not sure that that's worth it.
That clip makes me think, because, like, as I was that was happening, there was this, like, weird, like, piano, like, boom, boom, all this happening. And it made me think, right, that a thing that we grew up with that doesn't really happen anymore, just, like, the very special episode where, like, Kelly, like, is all of a sudden on speed and she's, like, you know, like, she's
so
a maniac.
Excited.
Right, I'm so excited. And weirdly, I think this goes to like how we think people learn this kind of lesson. Because weirdly, the ways that we've been doing it, like whatever it is, like my work, think pieces or whatever the ways that we've been trying to do this work, right? In ways, something's not happening. So maybe the very special episode has always been the way. I truly do believe that there are people who do not understand that like the word aggressive can be a coded word. I do believe it. And I just wonder sometimes, and maybe that's like a condescending thing to think, that like this is like the Bachelorette is the way that someone's gonna learn something that they didn't learn in any other way, but I do wonder.
I think that for me, like having her on a show like this, even though the show itself is like very mediocre. But I'm like, my God, we like deserve to be mediocre like everybody else. Because I think that the experience of watching television as a person of color, and I think especially as a Black person, is that you are always on this like high alert for how the person on the screen is going to embarrass you and like the repercussions that it's going to have for you. And my God, white people don't watch TV like that. Like they just get to enjoy it. And so I, you know, like I just want to watch dumb TV and enjoy that too, right? And it's the same reason I watch Love and Hip Hop. It's the same reason I like Love for the Love of Ray J. Like he's a mastermind. Like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, like I mean, I do love the VH1 shows. It's actually specifically like the Bachelorette franchise that feels off to me for some reason.
Do you like the other shows because they like there's like no. There's no like intermingling in the other shows. Like they're separate.
Separate you know? But equal.
Yeah, they're separate but equal. Yeah. I mean, let's be real. Like the Rock Black shows are separate best. But better.
But better. Yeah. It might be. Like, I mean, for the most part, like even, and actually one of my favorite shows is like Real Housewives of Potomac.
Ooh.
Real Housewives of Potomac is
I can't watch that show. It really stresses me out. That's a show that I think is actually bad for Black people. Ben Carson. That show is
intense, but they have like similar conversations. But what is fascinating to me about it is like it's happening within a lot of different like class dynamics and even racial dynamics between different Black people. And like something about that feels more like normal and a touch more comfortable, if you will. If maybe if it's just because like having that conversation, even having another difficult conversation with another Black person, honestly, is not as taxing as doing that same work with someone who is white. Because it's just like there are certain points that you just don't have to concede. Like there's a little bit of baseline. Even with Ben Carson, we could probably get to some piece of common ground.
Good luck with that.
Going out on hope.
He's gonna tell you a story about getting stuck up in Popeyes and he's going to do that. That's gonna be the end of that.
First of all, he called it the Popeyes establishment. Oh, yeah. Which is how I know he did not go there.
Wait, but I wanna hear what your cons are. What is like not making you excited about The Bachelorette?
If there is a con, I think it's the way that the Black guys are situated. Cause at the beginning, there's like this weird jockeying where the guys are like making alliances. It's like, is this a pack of wolves or are these, you know, it's like weird sexually. But their situation, and my sense that like these guys have an upper hand, like the thing happened to me where I was like thinking about them, like they're going to appeal to her on racial grounds. And
come on, Rachel.
Yeah, exactly.
Do it for like, the culture.
Yeah. They're going to make an oblique reference to like church fans or something and it's going to work on her. And then this is that like I felt that happened to me immediately. And then after that, I was like, ooh, that's kind of fucked up.
Well, one of the problems that like compounds it, honestly, is class, right? And I think that a lot of times when people think like very simplistically about race, they're just like, okay, here are the things that divide us. But the thing on the show that has been really fascinating is like the thing that you were saying with the men is that Rachel clearly comes from like a better off background. And the truth is that like a lot of the men like do not. That dynamic also makes me really uncomfortable. They never talk about money on this show. Mm. They never talk about like people of color and like access to money. And even the idea of a hometown date is crazy. Like if I had to take somebody on a hometown date, like you're only meeting my family. Like you're definitely not meeting my family. That's crazy. Like, cause I, you know, like not everybody comes from this like weird cookie cutter, like functional like idea of what a family is. And so they just like, they like just like culturally pit you against each other in a way that is, it's like the show has not caught up to where America is because even a lot of the white bachelors, they all have Black friends and Black family members. Mm-hmm. Like I did a deep dive on all of their social medias and they're like all down for the swirl. I was like, this is not shocking. You know what, like, you know, like they will all know what to do when they put their hands in her hair and there's a track. Like nobody's gonna flip out. And so, you know, I think that's what's sad about the show to me is that ABC is still stuck in like 1950. And it just blows my mind to me that nobody is like making a TV show that can appeal to people on multicultural grounds. I also like don't believe that somebody is watching this show and going, oh, like I've learned something about Black people today. I think that like people are fairly set in their ways. Like they like people are good or evil for like different reasons. But like TV is not the educational tool that we think it is.
That feels like a strong con.
That does feel like a strong con. Because I'm like my only con was like I think they could have picked her some better men. You know, I was like, there's some guy who
what kind of
now.
Man goes on a TV show that, you know, like, you know, that to like meet somebody
if
to,
there's
to
one
marry?
Peter,
they're all idiots.
If there's one Peter, there are more. But yes. It is actually time for us to take our final vote, starting with Vincent.
My final vote remains. It is good. But I will say that I actually am very compelled by Amina's thing about maybe I am a little bit of a Pollyanna about TV. I believe in TV, but maybe I believe in TV too much. Mm. Especially network TV, which is in this weird thing where, like, I don't even get it. I'm one of these, you know, cord cutter people. I watched this at my in-laws' house. So I hadn't thought about the sort of diminishing power of TV in this at all. So, like, part of what maybe I thought was a pro might not be as much of a pro.
Come to the dark side.
All right. Such a heel.
Always an optimist, but, you know.
Amina?
I remain very pro. Get it, Rachel. Get all the things.
So, one, I am here for Rachel. Mm-hmm. And I think it is significant, like, who she is and how she is on TV. But something still feels, I don't give them that much credit for doing this now. And while this season has been, like, really enjoyable, surprisingly enjoyable, I don't know, it still kind of doesn't do it for me. So, sadly, my vote has not changed.
You don't look that sad. You don't look that sad.
But I say bad for the blacks.
Y'all know how I feel. I'm here for Rachel. I think that she is among the best of what America has to offer. And hopefully our society won't devolve to this point, but it's possible our children could be celebrating her in Black History Month and in 20 years. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm riding the wave of the future. Good for the blacks.
All right.
So wait, what does that bring the final?
I think I'm outnumbered. I think that means The Bachelorette is good for the blacks.
Yep.
All right.
So if somebody asks you, you already know what the answer is. Unless you're not black, in which you should deflect to another black person.
Yes, please.
And if
don't do it.
There are no black people around, you need to take shelter. After the break, we are going to do a lightning round of good four, the blacks. So we are going to do just one lightning round of Good
quick.
For the Blacks. Okay. So I'm going to give one topic really quick. There is an album that came out recently.
Yes.
Oh, God.
That is basically Lipstick Alley on Wax. I'm talking about 444, okay? Jay-Z's album, and he admits that he has been cheating on Beyoncé since she was in her late teens when they met, up until some people say he turned 44, but basically up until, like, Blue was born and he realized that you should treat your wife like a human being and not cheat on her indiscriminately. But the beats are hot. Shout out No ID. Shout out Guru. So, Vincent, what do you say? Good or bad for the blacks?
It's a fantastic No ID album,
right? Mm-hmm.
With occasional thoughts from Jay-Z. Mm-hmm. However, the things that make the album popular are bad for the blacks.
Mm. Interesting.
So I, as a black man, want more credit than to think that I need to be 40, whatever years old to learn how to, like, be a human being. So there's, like, the love part, which is stupid. And then there's the part that's his whole economic thing.
You want to know what's more important than throwing away money at a strip club? Credit. You ever wonder why Jewish people own all the property in America? That's how they did it. Financial freedom, my only hope. Fuck living rich and dying broke. I bought some artwork for $1 million. 2 years later, that shit worth $2 million. 2 years later, that shit worth $8 million. I can't wait to get this shit to my children.
Yeah, I don't think that capitalism is the answer for black people. So, bad for the blacks.
Mm. Amina, what say you?
I'm also squarely bad for the blacks. Because black men, like, you know, you get so many opportunities to grow up in a way that, like, black women don't. Like, that was really hard. But I agree with you. For me, mostly, it's all about the economics of it. I think it's, like, a smidge, like, anti-Semitic, which is not cool. Mm, yeah. You know, just this, I don't know. It's
Talk
like black people have an obsession with, like, Jewish like financial structures that make me very uncomfortable all of the time. And they just like throw out these like anti-Semitic like sayings like it's cool. I don't think that that's true. But I also, yeah, I'm like, capitalism is not the way that we're going to get free. And like credit is obviously like amazing. But Jay-Z needs to, you know, like, he's not like telling people why they don't have access to credit, right? So I'm going to take him up on his, you know, like on his new wisdom. In order to be good to my credit, I will not be participating in like any of his live shows or touring.
I know.
I'm not going to lie. I'm kind of struggling with this one. Because the thing is, obviously, I sympathize with all your criticisms. And I don't think he should get that much credit for like realizing that he was like blowing up his life and fucking up his relationship. But I do think it's important that he did this publicly in this way. Like, seeing that was fascinating because I honestly just didn't. I thought he got dragged in Lemonade, and I thought that was kind of going to be a little bit of the end of it. I thought he was going to shuffle off, you know, and like keep trying to push Tidal, and like we would go like from there. So like I would say I didn't expect this, and I think it is at least good to see it and that it happened. Mm. So I would be a little more generous with Jay-Z. Also, it's just better than like American Gangster and Kingdom Come.
Ooh,
like
Magna Carta.
Magna Carta, Holy Grail. I didn't even want to talk about that.
American Gangster? It's better than Magna Carta, which was
okay. American Gangster bad. Is an argument to have.
But, yeah. Oh yeah.
But it's an argument to have.
Okay.
But I would say squeaking by. Good for the blacks.
Okay, so I'm not gonna lie, I struggled when I heard you guys' takes, Vincent and Amina, but I'm gonna be honest with you guys, the album slaps and it sounds good. And when Beyonce shows up on that track, like every time I'm sitting there, I'm thinking, like, I go back and forth because I'm like, wow, this man really played the shit out of you, and you are rich as fuck, and you are so sexy, and you are so good at what you do, and you have such great business acumen. And I'm like, you should just leave him. But when she's on the song, where she's like, just, I'm like, wow. Like, I just want to throw up my windows and clean, and it feels like church. And that's a distraction. And sometimes I cry listening to that. I will say this. I remember when, I can't remember the name of the album, might be Life is Good, the Nas album, where on the cover, he used to be married to Khalees, for those of you who've been living under a rock. And another man who blew his life up and didn't survive. But who's married to Khalees? She divorced him. She filed for divorce when she was 7 months pregnant. You don't file for divorce with somebody at that point. If he fucked up. So when she left him, the only thing she left in their closet was her wedding dress. And so he's on the cover of his next album like, oh, I'm living good. I still have my wife's old, like, ex-wife's wedding dress. I thought that was so emotionally immature. My boyfriend at the time was like, yeah, sticking it to this bitch. And I was like, okay, cool. We broke up. But but no, he didn't actually say that. But it was close. But like, I was wondering, I'm like, will ever publicly in hip hop any male rapper progress emotionally beyond this point? And I don't think that Jay-Z, I don't think anything he did was excusable, but what he did was beyond this bullshit that Nas put out 5 years ago or whatever that I thought was so toxic and so stupid. So actually, I think it's good for the blacks.
Oh, man.
And now we're at a point where
split
we have a tie.
Decision. So I think we need to put it to the audience, right?
Yeah, we do.
All right. So let's start with good for the blacks.
444.
Audience, 444.
Ooh. Wow. I can't tell if that's thin or not.
Yeah.
How many of y'all think it's bad for the blacks? Give me a boo.
Oh, sizable.
I think that the good sounded a little bit more vigorous. So I think that actually the room has decided for the culture, 444 is good for the blacks.
All right.
Damn.
Thank you.
Thank you guys so much. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Congratulations, you guys.
Congratulations. You guys are good for the blacks. But not as good for the blacks. That's right.
That was such a fun night.
It really was. Like, Vincent and Amina were great.
Yes.
And for those of you who are listening, you should definitely check out their work. We'll link to their stuff in the show notes.
Yes, and do not worry if you miss the live show, because there will definitely be more in the future. But if you want to be among the first people to know every time we have a live event, you should definitely make sure to subscribe to our newsletter, which you can do by going to gimletmedia.com/thenod. Or you can follow us on Twitter at The Nod Show.
And Brittany.
Yeah?
You know what else there'll be more of?
What?
There will be more times when someone will come across something that they aren't sure is good for the blacks. Mm, mm-hmm. And we are dedicated to help you in these moments of severe confusion. And distress. Mm. So, if you are struggling to decide if something is good for the blacks, email us at goodfortheblacks@gimletmedia.com. Or you can tweet at us at The Nod Show. Just be sure to use the hashtag #GoodForTheBlacks.
Yes.
Be careful in the hashtag.
Yes.
Could get dangerous. The Nod is produced by me, Eric Eddings, with Brittany Luce, Kate Parkinson Morgan, and James T. Green. Our senior producer is Sara Abdurrahman. We are edited by Jorge Just and Annie Rose Strasser. Engineering from Matthew Bull and Cedric Wilson. Our theme music is by Khalid B. Special thank you to the Jerome L. Greenspace for hosting our show, and our DJ for the night, DJ Graham Drew.
And we may have mentioned this once or twice before, but as we are a new show, you know, we're trying to spread our wings. We're trying to grow. We're trying to bring more people into the fold. So we would appreciate it ever so much if, when you go on Apple Podcasts, you would just rate and review the show. And, you know, I can't tell you what to do. I can't control you. But I can suggest politely that you leave us a 5-star review.